Remembering the sugya of Maradina L'Shulchanim, last week we had a Meridik Hashir from Chaim explaining the chalukim between Adam Amaze, Groma, Garmi. A few people asked me just to chazer over some of the sages which came out of last week's shir to clarify it a little. So I want to go through the chalukim between Adam Amaze, Garmi, and Groma. Just to bring out the complexity of the chalukim, I'll give an example. Someone was standing by an overpass. He had a big rock in his hand, and he decided to have some fun. He's going to throw it into the highway, onto the highway underneath. And as the car is approaching, he sees that there's a rock about to hit him. So he goes and tries swerving out of the way and hits the car next to him. But he tells him that the person who threw the rock will be kotzer akachonim bidei adam, and the person who tried swerving out of the way to save himself is going to be chayev for the car that he damaged. Let me explain. The halacha is that Adam Hamazik is chayev. If someone takes a rock and throws it through a window, smashes the window, that's a classic case of Adam Hamazik. He purposely, intentionally wanted to inflict damage on, cause damage, so rather that is chayev. The Gemara makes a rebus from the pulpit that Adam Hamazik is not limited to cases where he intentionally damaged, even if it was sort of a shegig that the damage occurred. Gemara gives a case where he had a rock that was sitting on his lap, and he stood up, and he forgot that the rock was on him, didn't realize it, and it goes and it falls off of him and breaks something. The Gemara makes a ribuy of the chiyuv on oinus kirotzen, that the pesach happened with the pasuk of pesach has kotzen. So the halacha is that Adam is chayev not only in cases where he intentionally does have it, even if it's a day in oinus, there's also a chiyuv for him to pay. Now, when we say that there's a chiyuv when it's an oinus, we mentioned a few weeks ago, there's machlokes, tesis, and Ramban as to exactly what the extent of that oinus is chayev. Shitas of tesis is that if someone is an oinus gomer, then he is potter. Tesis gives a case where a person is walking in the street at night, it's dark, and he steps on something. So there, a person had no reason to assume that there would be something lying on the street, so tesis calls that the case of an oinus, and he would be potter. Shitas Ramban is that Einus Gomer is actually Chayiv. Any Einus in the world that becomes the idea of Koyach Abba Adam is actually the Chayiv. Pashas Halacha we pass in like Tosfos, that there is a Halacha that Adam Mu'ad Ba'olam and Adam is Chayiv HaZekas, which he does be Yadayim, but that is not, that's limited to cases where it's Einus Ke'en Aveda, where it's Einus Gomer, then he is Potter. So that's all when the action, the Hezek that occurs, happens as a direct result from his action. What happens in a case where a noisin sam hamoves to snare behemoth chaverim? He sees a behemoth, his neighbor's behemoth, and he takes a poison and puts it down in front of the behemoth. And the behemoth then goes and eats up that poison and dies. Now the Gemara says that in this case I'm potter. And the reason why I'm potter is because the hezek did not come about directly by my action. What did I do? I put the poison down. The behemoth then came and ate it. So what's the reason why the behemoth died? Of course, it's totally, if I wanted to put it down, the behemoth wouldn't have the opportunity to eat it, and it wouldn't have happened. But I just set in action, I did something, which that it caused, and now the behemoth went and ate it, but the reason why the behemoth died was not because I physically killed it. The reason why it died is because it ate the poison, and that's what killed it, and I didn't, if I stick the poison down its mouth, and the Chazanish that says maybe in such a case, it would be other man. But the case where all I did was put it down in front of the behemoth, now the behemoth goes and eats it, so it's a step removed from my action, that's called groma benazokin, and it's potter. So they discuss what happens if I put it in his food, if that would be bar yizayka, but it could be even if it would be bar yizayka, since it's not bechlal totally in his action, it's not my action bechlal, even if it has the maila of bar yizayka, since it didn't come from the direct result of my action, so it'll be potter, even on the side that it's bar yizayka. That's the most of the Rishonim. Nevorg is a lot of these cases. A kaif is kemosli. There's a fire coming, and I bend. He has a field, and I bend over his kama. I bend over his haystack, and now a fire could reach it. But Ruach she'ena metzuyah, and the Ruach she'ena metzuyah comes and burns down his field. The loss of that also because of life. The grama. So all these cases, when we're dealing with a case of Adam Hamazik, one has to realize that it's only Echroi if it's a direct result of my action. If it's not a direct result of my action, it will go into the halacha of Groma bin Nizokin is potter. So as funny as it might sound, if a person takes a rock and he throws it onto a highway, the reason why the damage occurs was not because of the rock. The reason why the damage occurred is the person saw it, and he made a decision to get away from it and pulled into the lane next to him, and that caused an accident. So although he did something which Avada is Asr, doesn't mean we're not trying to say that a prisoner is allowed to do it, but that's considered a grum of an azak, and all I did was I made the situation where now someone else did an action, and that's going to cause hezek. All these types of cases will be grum of an azak, and will be positive. Now, if it would be known as Gomer or not, it's not Bechal Nafasha, because he's not. What was he trying to do? He's trying to help save himself. So that could be his not own. I was trying to, let's say, for sure, if I was trying to save my money and I pulled over, so I can't be matzah my money by ruining your money. Even if it's a question of gufay, it could be I have a hetzer then to go ahead to save my guf by a day damaging someone else, but it could be I'm still achroi for what happened. So, again, it sounds a little strange. This person goes and throws something over the thing, but that's not also grum bin azakin. I gave an extreme case, but a grum bin azakin is something that a damage which occurs not as direct result from his action. That's not also grum bin azakin is positive. Now we say grum bin azakin is positive. We said this a few times. Chazirov avado. There's a chiyah b'day shemayim. When you say the chiyah b'day shemayim is a real chiyah. Shalach he possible aid. There's not possible. This is a chiyah b'day shemayim. But when it's saying that it is potter, we mean hakafan of a chiyah b'day adam. When the Torah, when discussing hilchos manazik, a chiyah b'day adam is potter b'mokom where it's a drama. Also, the Zavach of Bezdin does get involved to prevent someone from causing a hezek, even though the hezek can come by a day grama. That a Bezdin is that type of grama is actionable in that. And that's the halacha of the grama ben azak in his potter. Now, what gets very confusing is the sugya of garmi. We have two extremes. We have a sugya of Adam Amazik, where a person does directly, he takes a rack and throws it through the window. That's Adam Amazik. You have the case of Gromo, where a person threw it onto the highway and that caused someone to do a different action. That's a Gromo. And there's something in between called a Garmi, which is like this. This is really a machloikis, tremendous machloikis in the Rishonim. It's like four different shittas in the Rishonim, three of them wrote down Shechon Aruch. It's confusing back and forth. That the Shas Garmi is really high. Ikad Adino, it's only a Knat. But after we finish the sugya, we'll learn Barichas, the sugya of Grama versus Gami. But just the basics to understand the sugya that we'll learn this week, the Gemara gives common cases of Garmi. One of them is Sarish Teres of Shachaveri. I went and I burnt, someone lent someone $1,000, and he had a shtar which he would be able to collect with that shtar in the chayit, and I went and I burnt the shtar. Now the person cannot go to collect the debt, because he's going to come to him and say, I don't know who you are, I'm not paying it. So there he caused damage, he did something b'yadayim, he actually did an action b'yadayim, he burnt the shtar. But burning the shtar does not necessarily mean that the person doesn't owe the money. The person happens to owe the money, but now he just has a way that he's not going to have to pay back. So here we have an action where I did b'yadayim, but what I did b'yadayim was not to actually damage the actual chayfet. There it's also, that's the sugya of garmi. The other case of the garmi which we dealt with barichas this week is the case of maradina l'shachani. Person comes to Shulchani, person comes to a money changer, in a case where he's supposed to be an expert in knowing as to which type of coins are legitimate, which type of coins are counterfeit, and I go and I show him the coin. He tells me, yeah, it's a good coin, you can rely on it, and the person goes and accepts that, and as a result of that, suffers a loss. So here it's also, married in Shulchani, it's not direct, he didn't actually cause the damage. What he did is he told the person to take it, and because he told him to take it, that's why the person agreed to accept his coin, but it's not a mice to be a dime, he didn't actually cause the hazard to be a dime. So that will be totally in the sugya of garmi as to whether or not it's kaya. So basically what comes out, at least in submission involved, is that a mara dinu l'shulchani, if someone shows a dinu l'shulchani, so if he's getting paid for it, then Avadi has to be the doctor, kaitiv, and to make sure that the person, that the advice that he gives is the right advice. And if not, he's going to be achroi to pay for that bad advice. I'll just give a few examples that come up with Maradina Shachani, a few shalas which came. One of the shalas was where a person wanted to install a refrigerator, and he wasn't sure if the space that he was putting it in had been that proper ventilation. So he called down the company and asked them if he could put a commercial refrigerator. He wanted to know if it would be good over here. The guy came down, said, yeah, sure, no problem. You can put it over here. It's going to work. And they went, they installed the fridge, and afterwards, they put all the meat and all that thing in this freezer. And after a few weeks, they realized everything was spoiled. And it was in the bar, that's what happened to us. It didn't have the proper ventilation. And as a result of that, everything got spoiled. So halacha is over here. Elachayra, this is a case where this is the way the Nesivis learns. We said it from time, and we'll see this more by Richas, that if you know that the person is relying on me, I pull down a company and I tell them, do you think I should put the fridge away? And you know that he was lying about it because they actually went and the company went then later and installed, and they were based on what on this advice that they had taken to the person. They went and installed the refrigerator, the freezer, and as a result of that, all my stuff got ruined. That's the equivalent. The same company. This company do it. He knew that it was. If it wouldn't be the same company, then it would be maybe more of a shayla, because halacha is machlokes rishonim in this, and like Chaim said last week, a lot of the shaylas of the maradin of the shachani, where you come to some of advice, boils down to whether it's elias to samichna or not, whether a person has a right to whether you spoke out elias to samichna, whether you told him that you're lying in him, or the person has a right to assume that you're lying in him. The pashas is like the nesivus over here says, if you're paying a sum of money for his advice, then you know he's not paying. He's pashas is going to rely on that advice. So in those cases, it's sort of understood elias to samichna. In this case, for sure, you know that based on what the advice that you're going to give, he's actually going to act upon that. So in such a case, the chayyav pashas, you would be chayyav of the concept of maradin hashachani. So everything that gets spoiled, because you basically told him, yeah, you could rely on it and you could put things here, and then the person went based on your advice and acted upon that. So the law says that you're chroyu for what comes out of that. But interesting, just to show you how dark aspect the shaylos get. But another case where a person called down a repairman for his washer, and he said that what happened was every time he put something in, things would get ripped. The clothing would come at rip. So he called down the person. The person came and he looked at it. And he told them, everything looks perfectly fine. He charged them. The person left. The next time he made a load, the same thing happened again. So there's a person that throw you on that. He'd say, Marzin, I paid you. You're on the side. But here he said this part. Why? So what did he tell him? He told him that I can't find the problem. He couldn't find the problem. That doesn't give you a right to rely on it. You knew that there was a problem. I told you, I came down, I gave my expert opinion. What was my expert opinion? My expert opinion was that I can't find it. So it doesn't mean that it's good. So you have to be careful sometimes when you say that a person gave an opinion, it might be very dependent on the wording and the type of situation as to whether or not the person had a right to rely on it. In such a case, it's very nice the person said he doesn't know, but not knowing doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means that I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't be charged, and it's a separate issue. It's a dan as to whether or not you'd be afraid to whether you have to pay. He did his job. That is his job. He did appoint the job. Could you even get paid? But that much to say that the person is now afraid for the hezek that comes out, it could be chiyai gavna, he wouldn't be afraid. If the person would have said, you didn't find any problems, do you think that I should go ahead and use the washer regularly? And the person would have said, yes, you should use it regularly, then about he'd be chiyai. Here it gets tricky, because when he's leaving, so that the person maybe understands that's what he should do, because the guy says there's nothing wrong. But in reality, what I'm telling you is, it's not that. I'm not telling you I can take a chryas that I know for sure that's going to work. So when you say, you have to say, alayach to samichna, we have to say that he's relying on me, and I have to be careful to make sure to say, because the situation really is that the person is taka relying on his advice and is doing based on that. Other cases we had where married in Shechon, just give a few cases to get to chapter what the halacha is. In a case where a person was selling a company, and he went and he asked the lawyer as to whether or not he's going to have a tax liability if he sells it. If he would have a tax liability of the sale, he would have to pay capital gains tax on it. It wasn't kedai for him to sell it. And the person told him, no, don't worry about it. The rules are that you wouldn't have to pay in this particular case. You wouldn't have to pay taxes. And Lamar said he didn't have to pay taxes. There is a funny case. It was a case where he was a lawyer. He was not, and really wasn't his expert. It wasn't his expertise. It wasn't his field where he shouldn't necessarily be giving advice on taxes. But again, the person thought that he did know, and he went and asked his opinion. So it might be that he's like, okay, because this is not his opinion, he's like he's bechinam, he's still going to be achroi for what he says. The halacha is that if you don't know something, you're not supposed to give an opinion. Here he told the person he should go ahead with the sale. And as a result of him going ahead with the sale, he had a loss because now he had to pay taxes and it wasn't worth it for him, but he had gotten it to sell it. So again, it would be totally if he actually had a real loss. It might be over here only in the Israel, but if he actually had a real loss, because he lost the value of his company, and he ended up with less money, it wasn't really not kedai for him to go ahead and to make the sale, so in such a case, the lawyer would be achroi, even though he wanted to make the argument, he wasn't paid for this advice, sakar. If he wasn't paid for this advice, it would still be bechinam. And when a person gives advice bechinam, it could be that it has more of an achrayas onto what he says, because we assume that he really messed up in the advice that he gave. So the law is, in such a case, the lawyer would probably be achroi for the advice that he gave to make the person sell the company. if he's a Baki and he taka gave the right advice, if he tried doing the job the right way and he didn't end up doing the job right, so we assume that what happened over here was an ice. That's the case. An Uman who is Bechinam, first of all, he has to be an Uman, has to be an Uman in this particular field. Someone who is a lawyer is not necessarily a Baki in tax. A tax lawyer, you might know all the rules of taxes, but he can't give advice and so from one, just because he has a title Uman doesn't mean that the Uman is not the same. But anyways, when we say that the Uman Bechinam is Potter, that's only when he did something that he was supposed to give his eyes on. And he did something that's really his Makom of expertise. And he wasn't negligent in the advice that he gave. It just happens to be that sometimes when he's like, okay, Shechta Behema, sometimes it's going to come out that, you know, you don't do it perfectly every single time. So we do Bechinam, so Yachrayas said it's not as strong, so then you be Potter because we assume over here it's like a sort of Torah of like an Oinus. But if you tack a negligence, you don't know what the law is, and you go in to give advice without knowing, just because you think maybe that's the rule, and that could be total negligence, and over here, b'chi agavna, a person would be chayef for giving such advice. Again, the important thing from the sugya is that when a person asks you a question, you don't necessarily go ahead and give advice when the person is being chayef. Just to bring out the chayef of this Indian, the Mashal, and the Shafi Gabor, and the Chubas Mirivayel, discuss the case. In the Shachan, it's mentioned over and over. Take it Adam Echad Machabah Kafa Alchay. There's a cipher. Going ahead and they're selling on. They're selling on credit. And the Reuben comes to ask his friend if he should extend credit to Shimon. And you tell him, yeah, he's a very reliable person. You could extend credit to him. Achach Nimtish is an Oni, and it comes out that the person at that time was an Oni. He didn't have any money. So here there's a deal as to whether or not you should be chayiv. So it depends like this. If you, the type of the conversation was that the person had a right to, was you knew that the person was relying on you, and that's telling you what we said, machlokes rishonim, machlokes the rif and the rosh, of whether you have to say alayach kesamichin or not. But if the type of the conversation is clear, that the person is being samech on you, then you would be chayiv. And the makar of this halacha is the mechaber and the Ramon, and the kuslof test. The Ramon says, that people in this Arab behavior, going into this Arab, it says a person came to me and asked me, should I make this loan to this person or not? So I didn't tell him that I'm being an Arab. I told you this person is Bituach, he's a reliable person, you should have to go ahead and lend him money. It wasn't true. Chai v'shalem, have a kilu in this Arabla. The lashon of the Ramo is kilu in this Arabla, but the Chayim learned that it's not telling the sugi of Arabic. But basically, what the Ramo is saying is that if a person comes and asks me a question as to whether or not I should lend the person money, and I tell you, yeah, he has a lot of money, don't worry about it, if you lend it to him, you'll get paid back, then you can be chayiv al stalocho of, the Shaf learns the locho of Maradin Shulchani. Same way, when I come to a Shulchani, come to a money change and ask him, is this coin counterfeit or not? And he tells me it's not counterfeit, and really it was, so then you can understand. Don't, this person messed up. He gave me advice, which was bad advice. He's a chroic of advice that he gives. The same is true in everything. If the person comes and asks me, is this person reliable? And I tell him that the person is reliable, and in reality he wasn't reliable, it's the same as that. Here's the coin, here's the person. The question wasn't the person, was he reliable or not? So he'd be a chroic for the advice that I gave him, that he could rely on this person. Now again, it's going to be totally, the Shach speaks that clearly, it has to be the case where it's a lie to some. Just to bring out, let's say it would be a case where a person comes to me in shul. So you know this person asked me for a loan, what do you think about him? I say, yeah, I think he's a great guy, I'll probably pay you back. Could be dear, I don't think necessarily the person you rely on him. I think today you Google his name, you see what his chavis are, what's going on with him, what are you going to try to find out? I don't know if you're taking a non-collateral loan, a collateral, I don't know exactly what's going on. Just by saying that statement, you can't say that the person understood that he was being shameless on me. But if the case was, he calls me up and tells me, you know, Ruben, your neighbor came and asked me for a loan. He's really pressuring me. I'm not sure if I should do it, if I shouldn't do it. I can't decide what I should do. I trust your opinion. He's your neighbor for the past 15 years. What do you think? Do you think if I lend him the money, I'm going to get the money back? And in such a case, I go and I tell him, yeah, don't worry about it. He's such a reliable guy. He's great and his business is doing well and he can lend him the money. So here, from the conversation that went on, you should have understood that the person is basing his decision and is going to decide as to whether or not to make the loan based on what you're answering him. So in such a case, it would be a case of a lies kesamichna, and a person should have understood that and even though he's being a nice guy and he's just answering him, but the bottom line is, you're not supposed to give any opinion as to whether or not the person is going to pay back if you don't really know. And since usually in this case it's impossible to really know as to whether or not the person is actually pay back, so you might in all these cases the attacker should not answer that you know the person is going to pay back, and if you do, and it's a type of situation where the person is going to rely on me, so in these cases I'll be high about the law of Aris. That's true. The halacha is the shaskit to say that if at the time of the loan, the person was a rich guy, he was a great guy, and then at that time he could have had the ability to pay back. Just later on, he lost all his money, and now he can't pay back. About that, I wouldn't be chayef for that. What I'm chayef for is if let's say he was the type of person who looked on the outside and might have seemed like he had a lot of money, but I would have known a little more, if I would have known what's going on in his business, I would have known that he's not doing as well. That's the case of Abiyah, because I told him that I didn't tell you that he's going to pay you back. I'm not guaranteeing you, I'm not a horror, I'm not guaranteeing you to pay back. What I relied on you was that the person has the ability now to pay back. And if it comes out that the person does not have the ability at the time of the loan to pay back, then such a case would be chayiv al saloch of Maradin Shulchan, since I gave him bad advice, I'm a chroy for that bad advice. Right. Because you shouldn't tell the right. So, you gave him honest advice. So this honest advice means that you should tell him what information you know that gave you that led you to that to that he should be sent. You should tell him. Listen, I don't know what's going on in this. I don't know all his deals. I'm his neighbor. I don't know exactly what's going on in his deals. All I know is that I lent him in the past few times. I lent him money. I got paid back. In such a case, I don't know if I'd be a fraud. Because what I told him was, I didn't tell him, yeah, he's a reliable guy, and he's a great guy, and he's going to pay you back. What I told him was is that I lent him the past few times, and these past few times he paid me back. Good. That doesn't mean that you should go ahead and make a loan on that. You can't say he was samech on that. So he was samech on the knowledge that I knew. So basically, when someone asks you information, you shouldn't just tell him the outcome that, yeah, you should rely on him. What you tell him is that based on what I know this, this, and this, and you can make the decision yourself as to whether or not you want to make the loan. No, because sometimes the person thinks that you know more than what you know, and I have some neighbors that I know a lot what's going on, I have some neighbors I don't know what's going on. So I don't know your relationship necessarily with that person, and if I don't know, and you make a statement, maybe he wants to stuff those finances with you, and you're telling me that, yeah, you have no problem with him, he's a very reliable person. And he's not really a reliable person, so I don't know how you can get to that conclusion. So if you would say, but I don't know what the experiences are, you tell him, I dealt with him, as far as my experience could be, right. So don't. You did. When the guy asked you, when I came and asked you, should I lend him the money? You're his neighbor, what do you think I should do? He's making me crazy, he wants me to lend him the money, I'm not sure if I should rely on him or not. And you answer, yes, you should rely on him, he's a reliable person. What you're saying is that your experience with him, and it could be, your experience could be one time, it could be 10 times, it could be 100 times. I don't know what your experience with him is. So when you're going and answering that he is a reliable person, what in effect you're saying is that he's so reliable that you don't have anything to worry about. And Lamaisi, in the case... That's true. He would think more, and you want to be a nice guy next time you ask information. You definitely. I hear very strongly that since people don't know, you know what? If you would say it like that, you'd get a much better answer also. So it's not a good idea. Because people, unfortunately today, people, you know, they ask a question, they say, they don't think too much before they answer, and then when the other person gets holding the bag, it's not such a great idea. So you're right, if you tell the person that I'm relying on you, and then you tell them you'll be a chroy if not, so you're right, the person might not answer you, but you don't want someone to answer who doesn't know. If you want a halgabak answer, you want an answer that just from his cuff, to ask him and tell him, I'm not... That's again, if the situation seems like he's not relying on me, then I'm not going to be positive. But the situation seems that the person's deciding as to whether or not he should do this based on what he's telling me, then I have a chryas to make sure to answer him only when I really, really know. It could be Yesh Lovin, if I work in his office and I saw all the books and I went through everything and I saw that, and it could be that the case will be, you know. You could create a case where I'm going to, I saw a set of books, that's what I saw. And I'm basically telling you that it could be that there are certain cases where it's done. But the way the Shach is, maybe he has different chalivas, maybe he has different, it's very, very hard to know. You're right. There are certain situations where you can maybe done that the case would be united. So in a regular case, you're not supposed to answer unless you really know, unless you would preface it by saying, listen, this is what I know about him, and you want to rely on that, that's your problem. But you can't tell him that he's ish patua, and to, and he's reliant. Now the Aruch HaShulchan does say that if I go over to him, then I know he's reliant. I mean, again, it'll be any time you have such a shayla, it'll be telling the technicalities as to whether or not the person really had a right to be samech on him or not. I go over an interesting shayla. Oh, okay, so the person discussed that if I know for sure he's going to rely on me, even if I tell him not to rely on me, it could be that it's called I know that I'm achrayi for what I tell him. And if you just make a disclaimer that the person, you know if the person is going to rely on you, it could be that then you'd still be achrayi. Unless you would tell him that I'm not taking any, unless you tell him straight out, I'm not taking any achrayis, and if it happens bad, because I don't want to take any achrayis for this, and don't come to me, don't rely on my opinion, then the person has no right to rely on opinion. If he wants to rely on it, that's his problem. If I'm making a bigger statement, if I know he's been relying on it, that could be is not enough. Once I had a very interesting scenario related to this sugya in the Siman Kofav Tet. Reuven wanted to borrow $1 million from Shimon, and Shimon was a little suspicious of Reuven. He didn't trust him rightfully so, and he said he's only going to lend it to him if there is an arvus. So he puts up collateral, and he gets a proper arvus, then he's going to lend him the money. So Reuven went to his nephew, and his nephew went and put up collateral for this loan. Now, the case over there was a very interesting case. He put up collateral for the loan, but the property which he put up for collateral didn't actually belong to him. It belonged, he was a shutuf in it, he owned 35%, and he signed the documents that he's the owner of the property, he's the managing member of the LLC, and you have a right to rely on him, and he has the right to authorize to put up the deed in lieu, to put up a collateral this property. Now, what happened was that Reuven, he put up the entire property. He claimed, in the entire claim, he didn't even read the documents that came to him, and he just signed it, which is not an excuse, because if he signed a document, if anything it says, he said he didn't realize exactly what was going on. So maybe he signed the documents, and that's what happened. The bottom line is he signed that he was an Aruv, he signed that it was not a personal Aruv, he signed that he's putting up this property for collateral for this loan. He had no rishus, right? So now the shayla is, he had no rishus, right? So he said, all the rishus, he can't give away, he got another property. Right, so he happened to have been, it was interesting, in Torah, we had a few lawyers that came in, one of them was saying that since he's the managing member, he did have a right. Well, I see right. Pashtus, he had no, that's the only assumption that there is no such law, and he had no right to put up the other shutzes chelik as for collateral. So now what happened over here was, the person went and lent $1 million, and he was secured only with $350,000, let's say, because that's all his chelik was worth. Now, for the Reuven Taka default, the case was it was a loan for 5 weeks at 20%. And as the one search for Mendel Shafran, he said, you don't have to write any head to risk in such a case because there's no way he's getting back the money. It's good to be true, it's not true, they don't have to worry about anything. You can't have the person didn't pay back the loan, they never didn't have me to pay back the loan. Reuven ran off with the money, and now he was going after the didn't even want to come to the interior, the person to borrow the money. Now, the deal was left on this Arev as to whether or not the Arev is achrayi. So now, if you read the documents, although he said, I'm relying, it says clearly, the legalese said that the statement was made that I'm going to rely, I have a right to rely on it. But the Maisa, all he did was, he was mishabed himself, that he was going to give this particular property for collateral. So he never had personal achrayi. It said clearly in the documents that he had no personal achrayi. So now, if he chayiv, fill it or not. So what does the shell do this thing? The same way the halacha over here is that if I tell a person, yes, you can go ahead and to lend this person money because he's a rich person, and really a person doesn't have money at that time, so I'm achroi, not on the halacha of Arabs. Even though there's no technicality, I have no right, I wasn't mishap myself as an Arab, but it's like Maradin Shachani. I came and asked you, what I was asking you was, as to whether or not it's kedai for me to go ahead and to do this, and to make this loan. So over here, when a person comes and says, that I'm only going to lend the money if he puts up collateral. That means he does not want to go into this deal unless he's secure, unless the person is an oisha, unless the person has the funds to go ahead and to pay back. So here, it was kind of interesting. They were neighbors. The lender called up the Arab and told him, listen, if the person is going to default the loan, I'm collecting it. I don't care if you're my neighbor, I don't care if we're friends. This is really being collected. So he knew that he was relying on getting this property. And the only reason why he went into the loan was he was not relying on the person paying him back. He was relying because Lamar said, if it's collateral, he's going to get it. So over here, one of the Shaltu, the same way that Allah over here is, that if I tell someone the person's a rich person and you can go ahead and make the loan, the same should hold true that if I tell the person that there is collateral and you have nothing to worry about, they're making the loan, and in reality there is no collateral, so the same sugya as the Maradina Shachoni, which are the chayef of getting him to go ahead and to make the loan. Now, Lemaisa, it wasn't so positive. There are Shtikal Chalukim. So from Remendel, we spoke to a bunch of Remember Shafran wanted to say, when a person says I'm an Oret, all he can rely on is that there's going to be an Oret. He's not really saying that there's any more Achrayas Tit more than that. So although he says he asks every time, there's the whole Sugya Arucha and Hilchas Oret had to become a proper Oret. So, well, every time there's an Oret, why does he say always a Chiva Skarmi? So Teres is saying that Lomaris over here, I'm coming to ask you your opinion as to whether or not to lend it. So basically I'm telling you that you could go ahead and lend it. When I'm coming to ask you as to whether or not I'm not really, when I'm asking the collateral, I'm not asking as to whether or not I think that it's secure or not. I'm saying, I want you to give me this because I don't trust you. Not only is that, he's saying the opposite. I don't really trust you. If I trusted you, then I didn't need you to go ahead to sign over this as collateral. I didn't need a lawyer. I needed to go to a lawyer to get all the documents done. The reason why I did it was only because I trusted that I would get this collateral. And that's the only thing I trusted. So I was seimach, and really what I was seimach on was my lawyer, who was supposed to do his proper work to make sure that I had the right to go ahead and do this. So that's the second thing. It was interesting because the interior didn't come up. But in reality, we were all thinking that why is he coming and bringing the Oref to the interior? He should take his lawyer to the interior. But Maisa, he came in that, he paid a lawyer, and the lawyer was supposed to do his due diligence to make sure that the person owns that property. He went and put this document, that document wasn't an acceptable document. He should have asked for the operating agreement of the LLC. There are things that he could have done. So that's an important thing to realize, the lawyer should have been Oref. And even if the lawyer wouldn't have been Achray, and that's an important in the whole sugya that we're learning up until now, we left it out, but I have to speak it out, is that when you go to a professional, so besides the fact that Maradin Shachani and technicalities of all the halachic aspects of whether or not he's Achray or not, the matter, most times you're relying on sort of his insurance. Anytime there's a professional, the professional does have insurance. So there's a big deal in the poskim as to whether or not, and I'm not saying that in all cases you're allowed to go to insurance, but there's a big svara to say that if a person has insurance, and I know that the reason why I go to this professional is because he has insurance. If he didn't have insurance, I might not rely on him. So I'm sort of relying on the insurance, and insurance could be a separate chayvus. So again, each question might be different, and someone has to ask a shayla, but a lot of times when we're saying, you know, you can't rely on the person, and he's going to be caused to be damaged, what do I have to rely on? There is a concept that in certain cases, that we have a right to go ahead and to sue his insurance company and be able to recoup my losses off that. So in this case, it could be that the Arav was chayiv in Adamai, so we were chayiv of the chelik of the Arvis. Again, even though as far as lekan, but the lawyer who messed up, it could be he would have been more achroi than the other person, and even if he wouldn't have been achroi, there's a strong thought to say that a person would have a right to have gone to his insurance and be able to sue him to recoup his losses with chayiv.